Hey, good evening. It is Thursday, September 25th at 5:47 p.m. This is the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen Finance and Public Safety Committee meeting. Can we please rise for the pledge? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Can we have the roll, please?
Ms. Falchoni Smith.
Excused.
Mr. Kurtica.
Present.
Ms. Vidomsky.
Here.
Mr. Sill.
Here.
Records reflect you have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Number five, public portion. Oh, no, excuse me. Number four, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda. I have nothing. Number five, public portion. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak? Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak? Third and final, is there anyone from the public who would like to speak? With that, public portion is closed. Number six, update on 2023-2024 audit. Discussion, possible recommendation to the full board. Hi, Brian.
Hello, good evening, everyone. So I'll give you a little bit of update on where we landed with the 23-24 audit. As you remember, some poor budgeting practices from the prior administration for 23-24 fiscal year put everybody in a bit of a bind when we started this administration began. We knew that we were likely set up for to have another fund balance deficit based on, again, the poor budgeting, but not for a lot of the actions that were taken by the administration, the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, and the Board of Apportionment and Taxation, we would have had a deficit. But fortunately, many of these actions created a roughly $1.8 million positive surplus to help improve our fund balance and get it up to $4.4 million. So a little bit short of where we want to be, but well on our way to the 10% level that is our goal and our objective going forward. You know, how did we end up doing that? We did that a few different ways. We used a lot of the ARPA funds to cover many of the unbudgeted governmental expenditures that were identified as potential problems in the budget. There was also $500,000 reduction in the pension contribution that was made versus the budget of $1 million. I'm happy to report that we did still land the year at an 82.35% funding level. So as we had talked about, we did not think that was going to materially impact the funding. I know we're still looking at COLA for the pension and potentially to get back, because there has not been any increases in that pension for a long time. The new treasurer is going to spearhead that with the pension board. The preliminary results from what I saw from this year, again, it was a good year in the markets. There should be plenty of room to do something, certainly on a one-time basis, in my opinion. But I will leave that to the new treasurer and the board to decide what the best actions are, and I will work with them to whatever capacity I need to in order to kind of get that issue resolved. I think some other positive things that were done was, you know, our interest earned was about almost $300,000 higher than budget, which does reflect, you know, good treasury management as far as making sure the money is invested in the right accounts and with the highest interest rates possible in order to, you know, generate some of that extra interest money. There were some issues with some IBNR reserves that we were able to kind of push back on some of our actuaries and revisit where they had historically been extremely conservative with some of these reserves and getting back to something that was a little more realistic, especially, you know, in light of the fact that we were going to be moving to a fully insured Connecticut partnership program. And at that point, the reserve becomes very important. It becomes a big impact. So getting that squared away was big. You know, the one thing that obviously was an issue that came up each year was the Board of Ed, their budget, and, you know, aligning between the city and the Board of Ed, who's budgeting for what. There had been a lot of problems in the past. I think we worked through a lot of them. However, the result of which is we did have to increase the Board of Ed budget for some of those items. And then even then, still, there was still an overspend. So we have to continue to watch that going forward. Is there any other questions specifically about the 23-24 audit before I move on to where we are with 24-25?
So on the 23-24 budget, that's the reason that MFAT got involved, correct?
Correct. That certainly it was from the years before. There was multiple years of almost $2 million deficits. This was probably on pace for another one of those years. Between the deficits, the lack of transparency, and just generally not participating like we were asked to be participating. We were then labeled tier one to be forced in front of MFAC. And fortunately, I think we were able to get in there quick enough, show enough progress where they didn't take the next step and, you know, recommend us go to MARB and then have to deal with the state.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Well, we can move to item number 7, update on 2024-25 audit.
Sure. So the 24-25 audit, we obviously have a new auditor this year. We've already met with them. They've already been in and done some preliminary work between both the city and the Board of Ed. The real work is scheduled to kick off in the middle of October. So we've got the lists of all the documents that we're, you know, feverishly putting together here at the city to make sure that when they come in October, they've got everything they need, with the target being to get this done December, January timeframe, much more in line with how it should be. We are well ahead of schedule compared to previous years, at least on the city side. I can speak to that. I really can't speak to where we're at with the Board of Ed. They have hired a consultant. I have heard that they've made some progress with some of the issues in the past. But, you know, the one thing on the last audit, we had 3 less deficiencies, which is good. But there were still 6 remaining, the bulk of which still revolved around the Board of Ed. And until we get these deficiencies squared away, we can expect that we're going to have to continue to stay in MFAC until at some point we can remediate that problem. Because that's really the last, we're down to one thing on their checklist, and it's these deficiencies in the audits. So really critical that we do our best to try to avoid that. If we do, we'll have no more checklists. There really would be no reason for us to be in front of MFAC in 2026.
Any questions?
Just have one. How are you trying to resolve that with the Board of Ed? Are you meeting with Doc or the finance guy? Or?
Yeah, I meet with Robbie frequently. I've also asked the auditor to kind of copy me on the communications and what's going on so that I can review some of those materials and then discuss them with Robbie a little bit ahead of time, certainly a lot earlier than we did in the past.
So you think it's going to be resolved in a, have you set a deadline for meeting these, or I don't know if you can do that or whatever, but it really needs to be fixed.
It does. I think the next couple of weeks are going to be really critical. You know, I've had a lot of discussions today just with Robbie on it. It may impact some of the budget timelines. We're going to start with them in order to ensure that they have the focus and effort into the audit and not start to get distracted with the budget, as they typically would start their budget in October, but really need them, you know, focused on this audit, especially when the auditors come in. You know, there are still issues with their system. I mean, things that he said were resolved, I'm not so sure are resolved. And, you know, I have a plan, a backup plan in case it's just not working out, but it's going to take longer. It would probably make it unrealistic that we'd get it done in December, January, if, you know, more or less what you have to do is almost mirror what's going on in their system and put it on ours, and then make ours as the system of record, and really they're just AP and payroll for them. And then all of the accounting and everything else kind of resides, all the balance sheet, general ledgers and systems reside on our system. But that's a much larger undertaking. If I have to do that, it's going to delay things.
It's something the mayor and the chief of staff need to meet with you on with them?
I think the mayor's been very involved with this himself, as well as Jim Gilday, the president of the Board of Ed. He's aware of it. He knows that there's a lot of pressure on this particular audit to do better than we have done in the past. And I'm hopeful that we will.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Yes, mm-hmm. the Board of Ed has been the limiting factor in getting the audit complete timely in the last multiple years, and seeing those last half a dozen corrective actions taken care of. You know, I'm happy to go to the Board of Ed Finance Subcommittee meeting and you know, make sure that they're, you know, aware and taking care of it as well. Thank you so much for providing us with an update.
Sure, no problem. Thank you.
Number eight, non-union positions compensation review, discussion only. We don't have any particular items for today, so we'll move on to number nine, Office of Emergency Management, continuing resolution to State of Connecticut, discussion and possible recommendation to the full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen.
Madam Chair, there's some communication from the director of OEM that's in there, and as well as a draft resolution.
Okay, we have our communication email as well as the draft resolution. Is there anyone who would like to make a motion to accept the resolution as stated and dated the 10th day of October 2025?
So
moved. And recommended to move to the board. Full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, excuse me. You'll amend as such, Ron?
Yes.
Okay. Motion by Ron. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by George. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Number 10, winter parking ban, proposed revisions to ordinance and processes, discussion and possible recommendation to the full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen.
Good evening. I'm really excited to talk to you about this. I had raised this with you last year because it's such a hardship for people, especially in the denser areas of the community where they don't have access to a garage or access to access to a driveway. And they're beholden to the streets for parking. And when the all-winter parking ban begins in December and goes through March, it's really difficult when there's not much snow and yet they're being ticketed because they can't find parking on one side. I know that we heard a lot from Third, we heard a lot from Minerva, certainly over by the hospital has been difficult, Summer Street, Winter Street, Mountain Street, all of those are very difficult areas. So I broached it with the Board of Alders last year, and Alderwoman Wadomski made a suggestion that I go to CCM. I did that. They did a poll. We only got about six or seven responses. I sent them all to Deputy Chief Grogan. He is so in favor of this, and he and Chief Todd have worked together. They have in here a copy of the old ordinance and a copy of the new ordinance, which will speak only to when there's a snow emergency that would be declared by the mayor. The fine has gone up to $50. They think that's a better deterrent to people. And I would ask you to move this to the full board. I think it's really going to be very helpful for residents, as I said, in the denser areas. Any questions?
I think it's a lot more fair, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, I know from the living by the hospital that there's a lot of issues over there. My fellow constituents that live in the area have come and, you know, and complained not only about the winter parking, but also about the hospital parking through that ordinance that we have on the books for, I don't know how long, but yeah, I think this is a fair way. The fine is a great deterrent for people to find somewhere to park.
Deputy Chief Grogan would be very happy to come to the full board and speak to you as well.
May I just add one thing? Because the issue on Third Street and Caroline Street is not, that was an issue that was caused by the new landlord. That's not a parking issue of the existing residents that were there. That was an issue that was caused by, and it's really a planning and zoning matter that should be addressed. So.
I can make that referral.
I see the $50 fine. Is there an increase after multiple?
I think they're thinking that if they get $150 fine, they're not going to be so apt to park there. But I can certainly address that with Chief Grogan.
Lynn, would it be possible to send me this in electronic form?
Sure.
So that I can take it, make it a clean version so I can see exactly what is proposed.
Absolutely.
For passage. Because if, am I right? This is just the change. This is a markup of the existing ordinance. And
correct.
And the intention would be to replace the entire existing ordinance with this.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you send that to me as well?
Sure.
So I can just.
I'll send it
take
to,
out the,
to all of you.
Right.
Thank you. That would be helpful. Okay. So then, Lynn, if you could send that to all of us, and I'll make a motion to postpone to the October meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Number 11.
Motion to adjourn. 6:05.
Motion to adjourn by Ron at 6:05. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by George. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I knew you were.
Yes, again, 6:05. Thank you.
I knew you were waiting for me.